bigger and better. We've got some new activities and also some of the fan favorites that we had from last year.
Marketing and PR manager Laura Kenyon promises plenty of new attractions along with old favorites.
We do have the custom craft beer that we worked with Good Works Brewing Company. So they're going to be creating that again. It's got a cute can that's got our logo on it. We're going to be doing some of the same things like bobbing for tennis balls with the dogs, and we'll have food trucks and live music. We're also going to have the vendor marketplace, so local pet vendors and artisans. We're working with nonprofit dog rescue organizations. New this year, we've got limited edition Dog Days t-shirts. So I've got a limited run of those. So hopefully the supplies will last for those. And then we've got our doggy swag bags. We're planning on doing double the amount that we had last year. So that way, hopefully everybody can get one.
For more information or to purchase tickets, visit Rotary Botanical Gardens website.
It's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday, August 16th, and it is rain or shine. It's $10 per person. Dogs are always free to get in, and kids under 6 are also free.
In Your Community is a free public service program highlighting local events in Rock County. For more information on having your event featured, visit the Participate section of WCLO.com. Welcome to Elder Life Radio, a paid presentation on WCLO. On today's program, our special guests will share practical solutions designed to protect you, your assets, and your family. Now, here's your host and this week's edition of Elder Life Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Elder Life Radio. I'm your host, Scott Moen from Elder Life Group. Good morning to my guest, Elder Law, Estate Planning, and VA Credit Attorney from Elder Advisors Law, Mr. Douglas Lay.
Well, good morning, Scott. How are we today?
We're doing good, Doug.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
So
what kind of trouble are we going to get into today?
Yeah, what's on your agenda today?
What do you think? Man.
Something big, right?
Oh, it's got to be, right? If you have an agenda, doesn't it have to be big? What would you need an agenda for, just for everyday stuff?
Let's make sure it's big and beautiful. It's a big, beautiful agenda.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about politics. You want to?
Oh, sure. No, everyone loves that.
Yeah, everybody loves that. But there is, you know, the politics are in the news big time lately. You know, this, well, they kind of are all the time. But there's been a lot of things going on with some really big programs in the federal government that kind of go across all different kinds of the big bureaucracies. So for us as a law firm, doing elder law, right, and estate planning, that looks very different. And when we're dealing with the big bureaucracy, so what are those, Scott? What's a big bureaucracy? Well, a good example would be the VA, the Veterans Administration, right? That's one of the oldest bureaucracies that we have, because we've had veterans for a long time, going all the way back to, 1776, right? That's when it started for our veterans. And then there's Social Security Administration, SSA, right? That was in the 30s. And then in the 60s, not to be left out, we had CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Those are some pretty big, monstrous bureaucracies. They started out small and became very big. It's all federally driven, and it's all county driven, from the original VA that was all county. Every state has multiple counties, so the rules are by county, formulas are by county, all kinds of things like that. Each one of those have their own legal system also. It's called administrative law. They're separate legal systems for each of those bureaucracies. So they can get really complicated really fast, right? So a couple of the big ones that everyone is concerned with lately, and, you know, as a group, our Lawyers with Purpose group, which I'm a member of, I have been for years, well, there's about 170, 180 law firms now that do what we do. We're all independent, but we are elder law attorneys that do estate planning, and we use federal law. So the difference between federal law and state law is federal law is drafted more broad than state law, because they leave some areas of the law for the states to do, because every state is different, and that's just how we're set up. So that's good, right? However, it gets really complicated really fast, and then what happens is the states, let's put air quotes on, inadvertently overstep the federal rules, okay? Now, they're not supposed to do that. Federal law is the supreme law of the land. But things can get put into legislation that are kind of vague. But once the bureaucracy is set up, you don't have to go back through Congress to change rules and regulations inside of any of those bureaucracies. However, before they make a change, it has to be public record, because any change to a big bill like that has to be done in the public interest, air quotes on that. Well, what's public interest mean, right? I don't know. I do, but what does everybody think? Well, here's what's going on. So some of the things with SSA, Social Security Administration, and CMS, Medicare and Medicaid, they are going to change. They're going to be changing some rules. So just because that bill was signed in July doesn't mean that tomorrow everything changes, right? July 5th or August 5th or January 5th, doesn't matter. It takes quite a while for the rules and regulations to be made. They have to make them. They have to post them. People that are in the type of areas of the law that their clients would be affected by any type of change, right? Not just the law, but financial, social workers, you know, healthcare, all of that. Anytime there's a rule change, they reach out for opinion and affirmatively. They have to do it. It's in the statute. Then the comments come back, and then they decide what to do, or change a rule, or we're just putting this one in place. So that's a big deal because our Constitution does not allow a new rule to be put in place with a back date. Mm-hmm. In other words, because of the bill that was recently signed regarding some of these big institutions, that a year from now they can put a rule in and say, we're going back to the day we signed this bill. That's not how it works. That's against our Constitution. That's retroactive rules. You can't do that. We actually fought a revolution for that. That's how King George got rid of his enemies. He'd make a new rule and make it retroactive and off with your head. That's how that goes. So we watched that like a hawk. So our folks that have done planning with us over the years, their trusts are up to date the day they did their planning. And then going forward, if they're changing the rules, right, that would affect something that's already in place, the already in place holds. That can't be changed. If they're coming up with a new rule that's different and it would affect their planning, we know that, and then we change the trust so that if they put the rule in place, we're still grandfathered in. So that's what we're talking about, grandfathering in these real complicated rules. Mm-hmm. They're not complicated to us. This is something that we do all the time.
You know, what I find interesting, Doug, is the big, beautiful bill.
Ooh. Everybody. Well, it's not a bill anymore. It's signed.
Right.
That's just legal talk.
Everybody knows exactly what that is, right?
Yeah.
However, do you remember, I don't know, what has it been now, say 3 years when the SECURE Act went into law. Oh, no one even knew what that was.
It was 2020, Scott.
2020.
Time flies.
We just kind of snuck in.
Yeah. That was a rule change.
Something that changed how
everything.
I don't know. Maybe $90 trillion is controlled in this country, and who inherits it, and what taxes are due, and when they're due, and that kind of like
stuff.
Just kind of like snuck underneath the carpet.
It did.
Even today, people that own IRAs have no idea what happens to their money when a beneficiary inherits it, because there was no education. There was it just kind of like snuck in there.
It was, and they said it was really good.
Yeah, but
this is
because our president's involved on this, everybody knows exactly what it is.
Well, you think they do?
Oh boy. But stir the pot, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of pot stirring going on.
So at the end of the day, Doug, let me ask you this, because this is really what it comes down to for most people. Has there any been more of an important time in the history of our country to do planning than right now?
No. This is the best time ever. So, and it doesn't matter how old you are or what's going on. things are changing. You know, our constitution doesn't change, but legislation changes, right? And if there's actually legislation that's unconstitutional, that gets flushed out eventually, right? It goes through the states, it goes all the way up to the state Supreme Courts, then the feds look at it and bring it back to what it needs to be or whatever that looks like. That takes time, but when we're dealing with what we deal with, which is disability, right? Whether you are a young person or someone that was born with a disability or you become disabled later in life, or you're a senior and you've had a terrible health event and you become disabled or incapacitated, right? We don't think of seniors being disabled, but it's all the same law. It's all federal law. And it's more scary. Well, it's always scary, right? And there's different types of plans depending on what age you are and what the disability is.
Yeah, because if you think about it, the definition of disabled, being disabled, is a it's a chronic condition, right?
But when you're away.
But a lot of folks today are also, you know, over 65 or even over. The dementia is a huge thing today we talk about.
Yes.
And you mentioned this a lot because most people don't know this, but there are over, 400 different types of dementia?
Yeah.
Alzheimer's being the one most people know about the most.
It is the most common one. Dementia is the most common. Our Alzheimer's of dementia.
Because of that component of aging, and I think when you go back to anything chronic related, that's kind of when insurance stops, right?
It does.
Unless you've got insurance for long-term care.
Yes.
There is a, we won't use the word donut hole, but there is a huge gap where people are exposed today to the high costs associated with aging. We talk about it all the time.
Yes.
But to me, that just says that this is where people need to take the initiative, learn about asset protection, and learn about protecting your stuff.
That's correct. Yep. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. You still need to protect your stuff. Here's what happens is we end up in that with that chronic condition, right? And say we're over age 65 or have been disabled for a couple of years, then you're eligible for Medicare. So as long as health care is being responded to, Medicare will cover their portion, the 80%. Most people then have some sort of a secondary plan to cover the 20. So it's not going to be a really, really big financial hit, right? Long as you're responding to the health care. As soon as you stop responding, Medicare stops by law. And when Medicare stops, your supplemental insurance, whatever that is, stops also. It has to follow the rules of Medicare. Now you're on your own. Okay, now what do we do, right? So you need a rule book that covers that. If you get stuck in a situation like that, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month coming out of your estate plan or out of your retirement plan, that can devastate the entire thing, especially the surviving spouse.
Well, Doug, you hear a lot.
You can fix that, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of people that, you know, we're talking about costs directly related to assisted living or even skilled. But for most folks, their first thing they're thinking of is home health care.
Yes.
And I think there's a huge misconception of what that costs, because what we see on our end is that home health care ends up costing maybe even twice the amount of what a facility would cost, especially if somebody needed 24-hour round care.
Yeah,
you know, you could spend $150,000 to $170,000 a year
easy
on home health care.
Easy, you can. So, you know, there you're talking, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a month to have caregivers in your home. That's big, big numbers, right? But most people don't need 24/7 care if they're staying home, because it's just cost prohibitive. Plus, your house has to line up correctly with those type of things.
Yeah, and I think today
I think it's wealthy people.
Yeah, I think, you know, most families today are spread out all over. So if you're lucky enough to have your children live in your town, that's a benefit for a lot of families. But that is not the case for many families today.
Well,
children are scattered all over the place.
Scott, you got to know that breaks our golden rule, the sweetheart rule. Those family that live nearby are not caregivers.
That is not happening. I know that is totally.
They all say they will.
Yeah, you don't allow that in your planning.
No, we don't allow that.
But because that does break the golden rule that your
you're not a sweetheart anymore. You're a commandant.
Yeah.
That's bad. It's hard on everyone. Not to mention those, like, just look at my family. You know, I've got some pretty awesome grandkids that are being taken care of by my kids, right? And what are they going to do? Because dad is in la-la land. They're going to, what, quit their job and, you know, risk those grandkids with a babysitter because they have to take babysit dad? That's not happening. That is not happening. So they all say that, but nobody does it. I've heard lots of people say it.
Yeah.
But very, very few are successful in the long run doing it.
So today, let's talk a little bit about maybe creating a rule book and what does that even mean? Because I think this is where, you know, there is a huge difference between what you can download for free, right? Maybe off of the internet, or what you can purchase for free.
Well, that's the Dr. Google analysis, right, analogy. And you can take this. It doesn't even have to be for estate planning. Just take it for medical stuff, right? So you got Dr. Google. I got this thing going on with my knee. I don't know what's going on. So I dig around with Dr. Google. And before you know it, I've ordered like six or seven different things off of Amazon, Dr. Amazon, right? This maybe will do it. This will definitely do it. This one's got five stars.
Yeah.
And I get this thing, and it's some contraption that you kind of hang on your leg and kind of twist this and twist that. Oh, that feels a little better. It seems like it's working. Let me try this other one. I got four more in case that one doesn't work. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
You can't do your estate planning like that. It doesn't work. And most people don't even know what estate planning means, right? It means maybe we got a will back in the day when the kids were young. I had to go get my appendix out, so the hospital made me fill out this healthcare power of attorney thing. I made my wife my agent, right, and my best friend, the guy that stood up at our wedding. By the way, he's been divorced six times, and we're not sure where he is anymore, but he's my alternate agent, right? So I'm all set, right? I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
So to be all set in today's world, it's not just about avoiding probate. That is really, really simple. It's not about having a will, right? A will will take you to probate if you have assets that are controlled by the will. It's not about a bunch of beneficiary designations, right? I mean, that's really important. But you have to have the structure in place so that you have options when you get in trouble with chronic problems.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal. Hopefully you never do, but the statistics are pretty alarming, Scott. What was it we saw recently in post-age 65 folks?
Oh, it's an alarming statistics. I mean, it's pushing 50%.
No, it was more. The latest one. I didn't show
70.
You. It was, Jackson National's review was 70. CMS was 77. I'm like, that was a double take. And I didn't start quoting that one at first because I'm like, wow, this is a mistake. This can't be right. Because, you know, we know it's over 50%, but 77?
Yeah.
My gosh. So I kind of let it sit. And then a couple months later, Jackson National came out with theirs, a separate one, nothing to do with the government, and they were at 70. So I know now that this number is just really growing fast, growing dramatically. So you want to be in a position that you don't have to go broke, that you have options, okay? So if someone gets stuck in a chronic long-term care problem, first we got to find out where are they going to end up?
Yeah.
How are we going to do this? What does it look like? And then it can be extremely expensive. So you're gonna need some help. And you have to know the rules and how to do this so that the extended family is taken care of. So you have options.
Well, I think the couple of things we have going against us, one could look at it as an opportunity. One could also look at it as a hindrance. It is the fact that we don't have enough workers in this country to provide the care.
That's true.
And I will say, I mean, I hear it all the time. A lot of the in-home care that's being done today is not being done by folks in this country.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
That's true.
Yep. And, you know, it's because those workers will work for wages less than what somebody else will work for. But I think what I'm seeing is that we just don't have enough. We don't have enough CNAs to begin with.
Yep.
And we have all this 10,000 people a day, over 10,000 a day turning 65. I can definitely see that the cost of care it's going to start skyrocketing, and it's already at what's the average cost of a nursing home in Wisconsin now?
$10,700. per month.
Per month.
In the 72 counties.
Yeah.
Now, Rock County, Waukesha County, southeast Wisconsin,
yep.
It's a lot more than
now,
it
Doug,
is.
Now, Doug, back when you were a financial advisor
mm-hmm.
in your prior
back in the day
career, what was an average cost back then?
Oh, back then? Average cost in the 90s was probably $3,300, $3,400. Mm. I mean, it seemed like a lot back
yeah.
then, right? That's... and that would be Rock County. Now it's 14,000 in Rock County. 3,300 mm-hmm. sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, and I think, right? Do you think there's Jeez. Also a misconception, Doug, of that, you know, small towns, places are less expensive?
There is a misconception of that because it's really not based on the population.
Exactly.
It's the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
The more the population, the higher the cost. Go figure. It's not supply and demand. It definitely has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
The outlying counties are less expensive. I don't know mm-hmm. what the deal is with that. It's just what it is. But when you look at the average of it's less than 11,000, but yet southern Wisconsin is hovering around 14 and southeast Wisconsin is, you know, 15 to 20,000 yeah. a month.
Yeah. Facilities set their own price for their level of care.
Yes, they do.
And their businesses. So most facilities are either categorized as for-profit entities or some could be nonprofit entities.
Yeah, but they still charge the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, Doug, let's talk a little bit about your workshops. We just have a couple minutes
yeah.
left, but I know you have been providing community outreach through workshops for a long time.
Yeah, so when we're talking about all these numbers and all this stuff and how is this going to relate to all the rule changes and stuff that happens, that's what we talk about in the workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we educate. You need to know these things before you do your planning. And you need to know this stuff so that you do your planning. That's a better term. Because trying to figure this out on your own, it's just not going to work. So the best way to do it is go to our website, elderadvisorslaw.com, and you'll see a workshop button right there. Just follow that. It'll take you right through the process. Our staff will get the information, and they'll follow up from there. You can sign up for whatever workshop you want, mornings, afternoons, Rock County, Waukesha County, or wherever you want to go. Sometimes we have extra ones all around. So just check that out, elderadvisorslaw.com, workshops. And that's the easiest way. Or you can call us at 608-371-7207.
It's nice to know you still are operating by phone.
We have a phone and we have people that answer it. It's awesome.
So again, Doug, one more time, the website and the phone number.
So it is elderadvisorslaw.com. It'll pop right up. You'll see our Janesville office. You'll see our Wills office. You hit the workshop button, and it'll take you to those areas, and mm-hmm. it'll show you when the upcoming workshops are.
And who can attend a workshop?
I want everyone to attend, right? But
yeah.
certainly, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, that type of thing. It's better to do that together because the planning is mostly joint when you're married.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the situation, but the important decision-making people need to learn. You need to learn this stuff so you know what to do, right? That's the first step, and there's no obligation to go through that first step. And the second step is we kind of figure out what does this look like for you? What do you want to have happen? No obligation for that one either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way to do this.
Folks, thank you for listening today, and please make sure that 2025 is the year that you decide to put your advanced estate plan together. Until next time, God bless.
Elder Life Radio is a paid program produced in cooperation with WCLO Radio. If you find the information presented helpful and wish to hear it again or share it with friends, please visit the podcast section of WCLO.com. Elder Life Radio is presented every week at this time in cooperation with News Radio WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
Right now, our world feels divided, but out here, we have so much in common. We fish the same waters, roam the same fields, raise families under the same open sky. Out here, there's no left or right. We all share a love of wildlife and wild places. But now, the animals we love and the lands we treasure are threatened. Gone, unless we defend them. This isn't about right or wrong. It's about standing together. Because up to 1 million species face extinction unless we unite and act to save them. We are their last line of defense. We are defenders of wildlife. Join us as we band together to protect our wildlife and wild places. Because in our love for what we share, we are closer than you think. Be a wildlife defender. Learn more at defenders.org.
All the news you can use on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.